Let's go back before the beginning of time, if you can, and just for an assumption. And try to say, okay, you're like God, right? And you're like God, and you're like God, and you're just sort of hanging around. And you realize you don't have anybody to talk to. You got all these characters, these things that you can create in an instant. And you know, little angel guys that run around and do stuff and do tricks, and you can, you know, you can have little create people that bring you stuff all the time, and people that can repeat by rote all kinds of great prayers and blessings and say, praise you, praise you, praise you, hail you. And yet there's something missing, and you're God. And what's missing is the capacity to have empathy with another person. I mean, no one that you've created can have empathy with you. Do you understand that? So you can have no pals. You can have no fellowship. You can have no really good times. And so God says, I don't like this worth a shit. I need to do something so that I can have pals. I can have people that will do what I say to do, or do something for me or around me without me telling them what to do. And they do it because there's a likeness, there's a kind, like kind. And so how do you do that? Well, okay, we'll create Adam and Eve. But Adam, Adam could have been that, because Adam was created innocence, and that innocence could have been transformed into this tested holiness by antagonism, by suffering. But it didn't work. Adam fell.
The deal with Adam, if it had worked, Adam would have had empathy with God, but God wouldn't have had empathy with Adam, would he? He would have. God would understand and know and feel what Adam...
Well, I know what his point is.
My point is that it had to be the way it was, i.e. the sun, so that God... I mean, it's like in the green pasture.
Okay, let's stop a minute. Let's stop that a minute. Can we leave that... Can we leave... That's a whole humongous theological argument that I don't feel like getting into tonight. But the idea was that he knew, he saw the whole movie, right? And he saw the whole movie before it happened. And he knew that Adam would fail, but he had to give Adam the right to be able to succeed in order to maintain his justice. You got that part of it? Okay. So then he says, the only way that this can work is that something, the only way that I can have fellowship is that it has to be something that proceeded from me and then left to its own devices. Now.
Kind of like the parable of the sun. Goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, we're talking about two things. We're talking about forgiveness and language. The only reason that we have language from God's standpoint, the only reason that there are jillions of languages and words, the end result, the purpose of language, is so that you are able to communicate pain. Because the purpose of time and space is so that you might have compassion. You cannot have compassion unless you suffer with. You understand that? There is no other purpose for language. That's why language is invented, so that you can communicate pain. Not pain, but you can communicate the results of pain, or the fruit of pain, or the suffering. Now, because it's only by suffering that there can be, in the end, fellowship. Can you understand that? Now, what man did with the alphabet is the same thing he did with the stars, is the same thing he did with the pyramid, is the same thing he did with the book. He used all these things just to be another instrument of his own self-realization. So your use of language up to this point has only been a manipulative tool to cause you to get what you wanted. Everything about the reason you learned language was for the, as a child, was to, so that you could communicate what you wanted, what you lusted after. That's the incentive for language training. That's why you learn to speak. The only reason that time and space exists is so you can suffer. The only reason that you learn language is so that you can communicate that suffering and have compassion. Everything else that anybody will tell you about purposes or ideas or functions or mysteries is a lie if it doesn't include that in the equation. Do you understand that? Is anybody that doesn't understand? Therefore, if you can finally get this into that thick skull of yours, you will now stop thinking that suffering is strange. Think it not strange concerning this suffering, or think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened. Think it not strange if you feel out of it for a moment. That's the reason you're alive. Not to stay in that position, but to be able in that position to see the purpose of it is... Well, let's go see what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you can understand for a brief moment that suffering has to be a component of your life, that he, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience to the things that he suffered, that... If you understand that suffering has to be the component of your life, then can you see what kind of an evil God would consider those that preach in his name and say that you're not supposed to suffer? Can you see the evil that God would perceive by those who say and teach that gain is godliness? That's why he said only twice, there's only two things that Christ ever hated in the scriptures, it says, in the book of Revelation. He hated the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the doctrine of Balaam are those that mix with the world system or get advice from the world. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans are those that preach success in God's name. Now, the reason that I think, if I'm wrong, convince me of it, but I hate these guys like Tilt with a perfect hatred. They are making a fool out of our Father. They are not just a little bit different from the plan of God, they are exactly opposite of the plan of God. They are worse than Satan himself preaching. And God help them if we ever get on the air.
Maybe why it keeps getting put off for a little while. I keep thinking all hell's going to break loose anyway.
Can you see, can you understand why language now exists? Why? The only reason that you talk to another person, from God's standpoint, is that you could communicate suffering and therefore have compassion on another human being. The only reason that you have reached this point is so that you, after tonight, can have but one purpose in life, and that is to comfort another suffering. Anything else, any other purpose in your life is a lie. There can be all kinds of little tangential things that you're doing on the one trip, but you're here on earth to learn to suffer. Go to, somebody go to 2 Timothy 2:12. Let the rest of you stay in Corinthians.
Suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
And that's the theme throughout the New Testament. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. It's said that, it's said throughout all of the Pauline writings. There's some mystery in suffering, that it's time that you as a body of people begin to understand and accept as commonplace. Jesus, go to, now, in Matthew, well, we have to go there. Go to Matthew 9.
Matthew 9?
9. We'll go back to Corinthians after a while.
9. You're jumping all over the place, huh? What's that? What's that? Like
Matthew 9.
What?
36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Therefore pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If the harvest, it means that it's time of the end. The harvest, it means that there is no more time for discipleship. There is only time to have compassion. There is only time. All the people out there tonight that are suffering are the harvest. Do you understand? You're not here. You're not taking up the time of God and the time of me and the time of this body of people to learn something about God's stuff. You are here so that you can have a capacity for compassion. And there's no exceptions. There is no one in the body. You know, there are different offices. Everybody in the body has the office of compassion. You can't, that's one office that everybody has to have. Why? Because in the course of the priests, you remember we talked about the last, there are 144,000 priests, 24 courses. Every one of the priests, no matter what else they did, had to participate in the slaughter. And that's what compassion is participating in the slaughter. I cannot tell you in strong enough words how evil it is to isolate yourself from the suffering. The reason I can't tell you in strong enough words how evil it is to isolate yourself from the suffering is because I spent a lifetime isolating myself from the suffering. I lived in a penthouse apartment, so I couldn't see the dirt. Ugly people were not in my frame of reference. Untidy people were not in my frame of reference. There was no one around me but beautiful people. There was no one around me but people who knew and appreciated the arts, the finer things. And I was living a lie. And if you have that propensity within you, you're living a lie. Your purpose is to be in the heat of that suffering, in the middle of it, no matter what your parental units may say. The thing that set me off on this tonight was today in the grand jury, a black guy was in jail came in as a witness, and he was accused of all kinds of evil stuff. And what had happened is, last summer, he had lost his wallet and his Texas driver's license, and whoever found it had used his ID in this trail of incredible forgeries and robberies and pawn shops, and so there was these like 100 counts against this guy. And he's this old guy. He was 54 years old. He looked twice as old as I do. And I'm 52, 51. And he has been in jail since December 4th because the police didn't believe him when he said that his driver's license was stolen. I mean, and it was like, I just could. He's lost his job. He's probably going to lose his house because he's been real faithful. He just makes a little bit of money, but he's been real faithful about paying this, like $65 a month for his house payment, and he hadn't been able to pay it. Just because. But anyway, the thing that got me about it is that he bore it patiently. He wasn't bitter. And it slayed me, because if I'd been in his position, I, by my own nature, would have exercised my rights and been offended and used every trick to... Here he bore it patiently, and I almost died. And I couldn't communicate it to the grand jury, because they just, you know, all like they were, you know. And I thought, I started thinking about word of language. The only reason we have language is to communicate suffering and to have compassion.
Big
thing yesterday about the Dallas project, but that's a guy that we ought to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that moves me. But anyway, we all are guilty of it. We all turn away. We all. I mean, Christ didn't open his mouth, except, I mean, he didn't throw pearls before the swine. Well, the pearls, you understand? The pearls from the mystery are these moments of compassion and so, that have been honed and became pearls by your suffering.
That's what an oyster is like.
But we don't throw them before the swine, and the swine, by definition, are those that are still in this area of self-seeking. They're the pigs.
Because it wouldn't matter.
And we too are the pigs, because when we forget the mystery and continue on in our own self-seeking, self-interest, our own self-divinity. Even about spiritual matters. I mean, we can spend a lifetime studying this stuff, but then we're just like a seminary. We have to live it, or it's worthless. Romans 8, starting in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, there is no way on the face of the earth that your flesh and the flesh component about you, that your sensory perceptions, will agree with the idea that suffering is a valid experience. Unless you're sick.
Oh, I think
that's what I said, unless you're sick. We do not owe the flesh anything. If you live your life in the belief system that you owe your flesh, you will, I mean, we're talking major, major deception. You will spend your life in deception. You are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, to live after the flesh means to have an agreement with the flesh.
Like your flesh says,
but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, what do you do to mortify?
Kill them.
No, you can't kill them. You have to agree that they're dead. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's what we talked about in the first fruit offering. You are a co-inheritor with everything in the universe. Except, look, the definition, the tie-in to your inheritance is this weird thing. Children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's no reigning, there's no heirs, heirship, heiring, what's the word I'm trying to use?
Inheriting
without suffering. Your tendency throughout your life has been, since the moment you reach the age where you're able to have some responsibility for yourself, is if there is the moment of suffering, you leave, you cut and run. You've done it with relationships, you've done it with work, you've done it with jobs, you've done it in your mind. If there's a problem, it's time to leave. God says, if you do that, you're an illegal child, you're an illegitimate son, you're a bastard. God says, from this moment forward, from the time that you see and hear and reckon, that if you leave suffering for any reason whatsoever, you're illegitimate. I cannot take it any longer is not a valid reason for leaving. It's much more serious than that. If in your mind you leave, that means you have fainted according to the Spirit, and you have, in fact, left. And unless there is a repentance in the leaving and or in the fainting in your mind, you will instantly have given all the land back to the enemy. And it'll be as though Christ never lived, because you will become that clawing, nervous, anxious beast that will do anything to save itself, even kill. It's all tied to suffering. You understand? If you suffer with him, you will reign with him. Why? Why is this the case? And what does this have to do with language and forgiveness?
Because you can't imagine what
pain. That's right.
Because you can't imagine what
pain is. You can't imagine.
And that's the answer.
And pain isn't just physical pain. Pain, each of you, like, and this isn't any bravery shit. The pain that I experience is the most severe pain there is. Childbirth is a level 8. This is a level 10. It can't be communicated. There is no way in hell that I could have seen what I've seen spiritually unless I had experienced this pain. You understand that? There is no way in hell that God has constructed me to experience that. It's not any good or bad, or it's not better or not better. It's just the what is. You don't have to experience that. I hope. I pray you don't. But you experience the kind of pain that I can't experience. I have no capacity almost to communicate the kinds of stuff that, well, like for the Tyra can communicate and empathize with. The emotional pain. And I don't have the capacity to have patience with emotional pain. Now, some of you do. I don't have any tolerance for emotional pain. That doesn't make me right, wrong, or different. It makes me what I am. Each of us fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. You understand that?
Yeah.
You are exactly as you should be, and you don't have to duplicate what I've gone through, and I don't have to duplicate what you've gone through. The key to it is that you as a vessel, as a legitimate son, stand instead of flee in the face of suffering, or what you perceive as suffering. Now, you must know by now that most of your fleeing is internal. And you do it in these moments where you flee to a place of no pain, i.e. your closet. And you do it in a manner in which you excuse yourself for going there. And you say, well, I'm not thinking about nothing, honey. I'm just zoned. No, you're not. Your throat muscles are moving. There is thought going on. But it's a silent thought. Almost every time it's connected with leaving, because you are leaving pain. You are fainting in your mind. Understand? Now, why? Okay, let's talk about something. What is compassion or pity? It's somehow associated with the emotional awareness of what is left in these neurons after we've experienced pain. So if we had not experienced pain, we cannot experience compassion. It's a leftover, it's a remnant that has remained from the experience of pain. That's all compassion is a chemical formula or an electrical formula. It's the remainder of the neurons that have been left after an experience of pain or suffering. If you haven't had that pain, you cannot have compassion. If you cannot have compassion, you have no right to live. You have no reason for existence.
So how does that fit with empathy? I mean, aren't there times when you can understand some situation that somebody's in?
Not if you haven't experienced pain.
Any pain, but not that particular.
You have to have experienced similar pain. It's set together with the image that revives it. So it has to be something that you have experienced similarly. You understand that? I have no capacity, I haven't yet had to experience the pain or the suffering over someone leaving me. You understand that? I don't want to experience it either. But some of you have had that experience, so we don't have to have, we as a body being one, I have no need to experience that, just as you have no need to experience being electrocuted.
I've noticed that in the last few days. I know in my case, and I think I see it in Barbara's case, our ability to relate to Brian.
Okay. If you have not suffered, you cannot by definition have compassion or pity. If you cannot have compassion, and if you run from suffering, then you're doomed to a lifetime and eternity of aloneness. Now, you cannot by the same token be in a position of suffering and let anybody else know about it. Not that you don't tell anybody, but that you don't gain identity from your suffering.
I'm suffering now.
You understand? I don't know you at all, but I know you gain identity from suffering. It can't happen anymore. You gain purpose, reason, raison d'etre from suffering. It can't happen anymore. The mystery is that I don't even know how to say it.
suffering.
Gaining identity from its little ones.
If you're not glorying or in a position of joy even in the midst of your tribulation, then you've either missed the point or you're still in kindergarten spiritually. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, what is comfort? Comfort is a word in the scriptures here. I forgot the Greek word for it, but it's a word that only has meaning in contrast. In other words, it cannot be used unless it's in the contrast to suffering or in the midst of the suffering. You understand? It's not like saying, well, I'm comfortable. I feel comfortable. It's the idea that it's an active verb, that it's comforting. I must be in the process of comfort. Okay? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. The word tribulation is the word thlespis. I love that word. Thlespis. I love you. Thlespis. Thlespis means, it's the idea that you're squeezed through a tube of toothpaste, except the opening in the tube is only the size of a pin. Thlespis. Okay. For as the sufferings of Christ... Wait a minute. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That verse is the purpose of time and space. Because it's by that you can gain and move towards the fellowship that God desires. So therefore... that one verse is the purpose of all books and language. The only reason that you have names and words and sentences is to be able to communicate suffering and comfort. No other purpose. It's not to get people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. If you had to distill all language and books and the reason for them down to this one thing, it's this, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians. Can you buy that? Can you see then why anything that says gain is godliness is an anathema? Because it's the opposite of the plan of God. And therefore you're damn fools for being here. Why would you come to a place that tells you this kind of shit? Didn't make any sense.
Why would you take part in anything that says that which is coming against you is Christ?
Last night I was praying, and I think really for the first time I was able to see that through suffering, through what I felt I was going through, that, I mean, I saw Christ. I didn't really see me or Ed. I just saw, it was neat. I was just praying, and it just came into my head, and it wasn't anything about Ed or me. It was about, you know, Christ, and it was neat to be able to see. Yeah. That's what the whole thing's all about.
And that's what everything has to be. That's what every arena of our life That's what has to take place, that we see Christ is all and in all. That's neat. That's wonderful. Well, if we could, you remember we've read in the past where, like, a person was given the capacity to see, and he opened his eyes, and he looked, and like there were 185,000 some kind of beings around him.
Mm-hmm. Chariots on that
list. And you open your eyes, and you see the New Jerusalem. And you open your eyes, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a number of those kinds of experiences. But the thing that I just experienced just that minute ago was like, I saw the angels clap in joy for what you just said.
Yay.
Because that's why we exist, that's why they exist. To see those moments. That's neat.
Yeah.
Because if otherwise, you can't, you know, otherwise anything we do, everything about spirit must be communicated by these crazy metaphors and parables and allegories. And nothing about spirit can be seen by the senses, by the Gentiles. Any time that we take something spiritual and literalize it, then we've literalized, or we've taken the name of God in vain. We brought God into flesh, into that which is going to die. In other words, we placed God's honor on something that we know is going to, you know, fail. So we've taken the name of the Lord in vain. That's why we cannot literalize the parable. You can never worship any of the parables. And that's what you do when, what you really do when you do that is you become high-minded. You take a stand. You can't literalize something out of here without taking a stand. And that's why taking a stand is so evil, because you, again, you've missed the point. Amen. And in the taking a stand, you're worshiping graven images, which is also it's not too good of a thing to do.
Huh?
Yeah, it's not a good idea. Let me read a few more verses here in Corinthians. It's really wild. But as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now that's the balance. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Now that's the biggest. You have the sentence of death in yourself. So how can anything get you? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. The idea is that Can you see then how evil a truce is? Because a truce is a vehicle by which you try to escape the suffering or the confrontation. And so therefore you have the truce in the name of forgiveness. And you have no more forgiven them than a man in a moon. And all it did was cause your, it was an instrument of worshiping your own flesh. You see that? Because you just tried to avoid the confrontation. You tried to avoid the suffering. You cannot permit one truce to exist in your life from this point forward because you've heard too much. That's enough. Can you see the purpose of suffering? So that you can have compassion. Well, I've had enough suffering. No, you haven't. If you were left without it this instant, you would become totally self-seeking animal again. Just like the other idiots. The perverts, ignorant idiots that are blaspheming our Father. Take it, big guy.